You're listening to the Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The currency.news. It pays to be curious.
It's been hailed as the fourth industrial revolution, technology. It's accelerated change, presenting both opportunities and challenges for small, medium and large businesses all over the world. And this revolution requires reinvention, constant reinvention. And to discuss this, I'm joined by Darren O'Neill, consulting partner and insurance industry leader with PwC Ireland. Darren, you're very welcome here to the studio.
Thanks, Ian.
So I mentioned there this idea of reinvention, and it's, I don't want to say it's a cliche, but companies, particularly what's going on in the world at the moment, are in constant need of business reinvention. And when you look at it, what does reinvention mean to you?
Yeah, look, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a little bit of cliche about this, like the world has been reinventing itself through many different revolutions, and we're in the fourth revolution, technology-led revolution today. I guess, so what is slightly different and what does it mean? Firstly, the pace of change today is really unprecedented. We've got, you know, advancements in computing power, greater levels of connectivity. Obviously, we've got significant advances in AI, and we might cover that a little bit later. We've got greater levels of collaboration. We've got open source innovation. There's increased investment in R&D right across industries, shorter innovation cycles, globalization. Maybe that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's funny. You say it, but it's still relevant.
It's still relevant. And emergence of new technologies. And then sitting underneath all of that is the shift to the power of the consumer. So all of these factors have really driven this constant need for reinvention, for innovation, for changing the business model. And that's essentially what this is all about. And maybe just to back a little bit of that up as well. Like we ran, as you know, Ian, we ran our CEO survey. It's a global thing we do every year, interview about 5,000 global CEOs and a couple of hundred in the Irish market. And 42% of global CEOs believe that their businesses will be radically different in 10 years' time or they will not exist. And then if you look at Irish CEOs,
stark, isn't
it's
it?
Absolutely stark. Like these are the leaders of large, medium organizations right across the world who are looking at their businesses and feel if we're doing the same thing in 10 years, we will likely be out of business. And then when I look at that in Irish CEOs, 29%. And we might touch on that because that's not an insignificant difference.
Why is that difference? Let's touch upon it now. But why is that difference? Is it complacency? Is it that they're better? Or what's in their mind?
Yeah, and this is something I've kind of gave a little bit of thought to. So I definitely think it's not complacency. I would put Irish CEOs up on the same pedestal with their global counterparts for absolute sure. I think because we live in such an open economy that's so open to the perils of globalization and have to respond constantly around new markets, how they're responding to their consumers and looking at their business models around that. I think there's probably, it's built into their DNA.
They're constantly evolving.
I don't think you can live in an economy the size of the Irish economy with so many dependencies right across markets around the world without having to continuously look at how are we selling our products, what are our products, who are our partners, how are we bringing them to market, etc.
I want to ask you about something. You mentioned it there and I want to touch upon it now, which is this idea of the consumer, that the consumer is driving this change. And something I hadn't thought about a lot, but when you say it there, it makes obvious sense to me.
Yeah, so I again, you know, as a consumer and as somebody who works with businesses who are, you know, selling product and services into consumers, I guess, like, 25 years ago, the internet was kind of but a glint in someone's eye. It was just starting to kind of to build itself. And then we had all these incredible advances in technology and smartphones were put into people's hands. And what that has done is it's really raised the bar in what consumers expect from the product and service providers that they engage with. And you have at the very high end, you've got, you know, these entertainment companies, you've got retail, you've got hospitality, who are making it very, very simple to transact business. And consumers don't split between sectors. They expect a very seamless experience. And when they look into some of the legacy industries, you know, and I guess, what do I mean by a legacy industry? One that's been around a long time and probably has more constraints than some of these digitally native sectors. they expect absolutely the same level of experience, the same level of service, the same level of transparency, the same sharing around their data, etc. And that has really raised the bar in terms of consumers' expectations.
Now, your background is in insurance. You're an insurance industry leader with PwC.
That's right.
It has pivoted towards the consumer, and a lot of the things we're talking about have been really relevant to that sector.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's something that you feel you need to have in place. And there's no excitement for potentially for a consumer. But that doesn't mean a consumer has lower expectations in terms of the quality product service. And in particular, things like the transparency on the claims process. Where is my claim? Am I going to be paid out? Are you meeting your obligations to me? But if I look at the sector, I think the insurance sector is actually not untypical in terms of the level of disruption, transformation, innovation that's happening. And there's a number of factors that are driving that that are actually quite similar to other sectors. And if I could just maybe just elaborate on some of those. So in the first instance, and if I look at the Irish insurance sector, and again, very similar to other markets, the competitive dynamics over the last number of years have changed very significantly. New entrants into this market. So you have
masses of consolidation as well.
Masses of consolidation. You've got huge amount of private equity money has come into the sector. A lot of consolidation in the distribution channel. And what does that do? It drives power into that channel. And then the two other ones for me that are very significant, and again, this is completely relevant to other sectors, is you've got constraints around the operating model and constraints around the technology that sits underneath it. And we were talking beforehand, but many insurers are still working on the green screen legacy technology that they would have bespoke built 30, maybe 35 years ago. And then related to that is the operating model, as I mentioned, and it's very much built around the policy. It's not built around the customer. So everything is built in the organization around getting a policy out to a customer, as opposed to what are the customer's needs.
We've been talking about business model reinvention, but when you step back from it, right, and whether it's the insurance sector or other sectors, what are the key ingredients that companies and business leaders need to be thinking about?
Yeah, so I think there's maybe two or three things on that. So the first one, and we talked about the power of the consumer, is really understanding who are we selling our product or service to. So having a really almost this concept of a micro segmented view of what are their needs and services. And you can do that today because you have so much data on the people who engage with your business and beyond your business that you should be able to form a really clear picture of what are their needs. And that's not a blanket generic need. What are the needs of the individual segments that I engage with? And how am I presenting my products and services to them? So that's one area that is very, very important. The second area, and I think this is all encompassing, is the ability to be agile. So when we talk about disruption and we talk about reinvention, like we can pretend that we can predict the world in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years time. And if history has taught us nothing, that is absolutely impossible. And look at the times that we're living through at the moment. Who would have predicted this maybe 6, 12, 18 months ago? But the ability to respond to your environment is absolutely critical for any organization. And again, that sounds quite trite, but that's very difficult if you are very constrained around how you engage with your distribution partners, around how you bring a new product to market.
If you're rigid.
And technology brings rigidity. Legacy technology brings rigidity. So that's the second one, the ability to be agile. And then, I mean, and I was touching on it there, you know, having a more modern technology infrastructure is, you know, whether we like it or not, it is very, very important to take some of that rigidity out and also to lean into some of the benefits that more modern technologies can bring. And again, obviously, I mean, we could talk about AI separately, but that's not on its own. That's one technology. There is a suite of technologies that can help organizations.
Darren, you've mentioned AI. It's a big topic. Every company is looking at it at the moment as a panacea, as a solution, as everything else. What's your own view?
Yeah, Ian, it's front of mind for every CEO out there, for every business at the moment. And you know, again, kind of maybe managing my own general kind of skepticism, I fundamentally believe that AI is on the track to ubiquity. I fundamentally believe it is going to radically transform how we live, how we work, how organizations sell products and services, build their products and services. For organizations, when we're speaking to organizations, we speak to them about, you know, investing in AI over maybe three horizons. The first horizon is really experimentation. So it's proof of concepts. It's around learning how you engage with the technologies, what the technologies can do, picking some relatively straightforward use cases, building some skills in your own teams and building your own capability. The second horizon is really about, now that we have a better grounding of understanding and we've got a kind of a longer list of potential use cases and applications of AI in our business where we can drive value, it's writing your AI strategy and your roadmap, because you need to move out of this proof of concept, short term, kind of low value add into how do we genuinely create value for our customers and for our business. And that's your second horizon. And in parallel with that, you'll continue doing use cases, proofs of concept, continuing to evolve your understanding of the technology and the controls and the regulations that sit around that. And the third one then is really moving into scale. And for some organizations, that can take many, many years, and other organizations can get there quickly. It really depends on your starting point. But they would be the three horizons that we would see.
Irish companies, how adaptable are there? Are they, should I say? And we talk about convergence, we talk about agility, but you're talking to these companies every day of the week. How are they fixed for what's coming, given the pace of change and the acceleration of change across multiple sectors and multiple technologies?
Yeah, look, I look again, Ian, I think because we're in this open economy, I think there has been this kind of embedded into people's DNAs. And look, if you look at the Irish kind of CEO diaspora, like many of these women and men have worked in multinational organizations all around the world, have come back home. They're responding to all of the changing environment that they have to work in here. I think what I would say is sometimes we can lag larger economies because the price of getting things wrong in a small economy can be very accelerated. And we've certainly seen examples of failures in the insurance sector over the years. So I think sometimes there can be a little bit of conservative around change. But also I think the investment required to make some of these change is very, very significant. And you need to take a multi-year view on that. I think our CEOs are absolutely not afraid of that. But there are other factors that they have to take into account to make those changes.
Well, one of those factors, I think, is staff and employees. And if you're going to be implementing any sort of change, you need them on board. So when you're engaging with companies, how does that process work?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, when you look at an environment that is so, it's changing so much and all the time, then you need a workforce that is able to change all the time. And if you look at the skills that are required today versus the skills that were there 10, 15, 20 years ago, they've fundamentally changed. And again, you know, with my relatively kind of skeptical hat on around AI, we don't need everybody being a computer engineer or a prompt engineer or able to create a large language model, but we need people to be able to adapt to engage with these technologies in an open-minded, experimental way. And what we see is that businesses are really struggling to constantly change and evolve their workforce. It's one of the highest points on the CEO survey that they find most challenging. It's a real challenge for them.
So Darren, finally, when you sit down at the dinner table or you're at a dinner party and a guy looks for a couple of minutes of advice for free and he turns around and says, how can I implement change? What's your key message to them?
Look, I am a fundamental believer in that humans drive change. So technology doesn't drive change, humans drive markets. And the ability to continuously challenge yourself around changing and executing change is really a core capability for any organization, because the technology is there to enable you, the systems, the tools, the processes, building your culture, keeping your workforce, investing in your workforce, giving them the opportunities to embrace some of these new technologies in an open, but in a controlled way, I think is absolutely critical for any organisation.
Well, Darren O'Neill, consulting partner and insurance industry leader with PwC Ireland, thank you very much for joining me on the Tech Agenda here today.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh, powered by PwC, the currency.news. It pays to be curious.